You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor David Wendell, Assistant to the Bishop for Ministry and Ecumenism in the North American Lutheran Church. We're observing the fifth Sunday in the season of Pentecost. The gospel reading for this weekend is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the greatest problems we face in North American Christianity is the mistaken belief that, hey, it's all about me. Like the Toby Keith song, most of the time our attitude is, "I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one. what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. He says in the song, I like talking about you, 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 usually, but occasionally I want to talk about me. Now, I don't disagree with much of what I hear in country music songs these days, but the one thing I would take issue with in that song is that usually we like to talk about you because really most of these days we don't want to talk about, think about, focus on you. Because in our culture, in our society, in our world today, we all do think it's all about me. So much so that in my family, we will sometimes jokingly remind each other, saying, you mean it's not all about me? And that's true even for us Christians, even in the church today, that we think, we feel, we believe, it should all be about me. And we see that certainly in the desire among pastors and lay members to have church be exactly and specifically what I want, what I like, what I relate to. Whether it's in which hymns or songs we sing, which musical setting of the service we use, it can even relate to what color we paint the sanctuary, what color the carpet is in the nursery. And believe me, pastors can be just as me-centered as anyone else in the church, which is often what causes tension and conflict in the body of Christ because, well, we can't all have what we want in the church. Because trying to have what I want and what you want and what he and what she wants is impossible. And really, it's contrary to what the church is. Because the church is not all about me. The church is not supposed to be all about me or you, but about, surprise, the church is to be all about Jesus. And that brings us to our gospel lesson for today, which we often misunderstand as being about us. And where in this gospel reading from Mark chapter 5 do we get the idea that it's all about us? Well, in the verse where Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Many of us hear that and we think, well, if that woman's faith made her well, then if I can just muster up enough faith, if I can just have a stronger faith, if I can be more spiritual and godly and faithful, then surely by my faith, I can overcome my illness, my cancer, my bad marriage, my challenges with my kids. Whatever it is in my life that's troubling me, I can conquer by my faith, by my own faith, like the woman in the gospel lesson. But you see, that really is to misunderstand both the healing of the woman and faith itself. For what healed the woman was not her faith, but her faith in Jesus. Because that's what this gospel lesson is all about, and why she was healed. Not because her faith was so wonderful, so much better, stronger, bigger than anyone else's. For if that was the case, if she healed herself by the power of her own faith, then why didn't she do it before? Why did she struggle for 12 long years if she had it in herself to heal herself? But she didn't. She couldn't heal herself, so by faith, she came to the one who could heal her. She came to Jesus. So that the faith that healed her, the faith that received healing, really, was faith not in herself or her own power, but faith in Jesus Christ, trust in Jesus Christ, whom just before we learned could command a legion of demons and they would obey him. And just before that we heard that Jesus is Lord even of storm and sea, able to calm the tumult with just the words, peace, be still. And now we see that a woman could be healed by Jesus without a word or an intentional action. That by just touching the fringe of Jesus' outer garment, a woman who had suffered for 12 years was healed. By the power of Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, and that power received by faith. Because here's the thing, really. Faith itself is the gift of God. It's not something we create or develop in ourselves. Rather, it is, as St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where he says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lutherans emphasize this when, in the chief doctrinal statement of Lutheranism, the Augsburg Confession, it says, also we teach that we cannot be justified before God by our own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith. The Augsburg Confession says that salvation, forgiveness of sins, and healing are apprehended by faith, such that faith is trust in God that opens us to God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, so that faith is a channel. It's simply the instrument, the pathway God gives us to share with us his blessings. Although Martin Luther speaks of faith in many different ways, the one definition I most appreciate is when he said, faith is simply letting God be God. Knowing that I don't have to be, and I cannot be God or Lord. Which is the faith, the trust of the woman in the gospel account, who came to Jesus trusting that he was God, such that her faith simply opened her to the power of God in Jesus. After all the doctors and all the attempts at healing and trying everything else in the world, she came to Jesus trusting him in faith, and he healed her. Her faith received that healing. And isn't that what happened in the healing of Jairus' daughter as well? Truly, Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. As the leader of the Jewish congregation should not have come to Jesus, the radical itinerant teacher, for the healing of his daughter. Jesus was known to associate with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. Jesus challenged the established institutional religion of his day. Jesus was accused of blaspheming against the Lord God, speaking as if for God himself. And yet, for Jairus, this was his beloved daughter near death. She was 12 years old. 12 years and a day being the age of adulthood in Judaism. Her life had just begun, and now she was at the point of death. This father did what he had to do. He humbled himself, and in trust, in faith, he came to Jesus, falling at his feet, beseeching Jesus, come and lay your hands on my daughter, that she may be made well and live. And Jesus went with him. And even though the daughter died while Jesus was on the way, Jesus ignored the others and ignored their laughter when he said she was not dead, but only sleeping. But then he proved to Jairus and his daughter and all the others that to him, to Jesus, death is only a peaceful sleep. For Jesus is Lord of death and life. And with a word, Talitha kumi, he raised Jairus' dead daughter so that the mourners and the bystanders were overcome with amazement. All because Jairus humbled himself and trusting not in himself or his institutional religion, but placing all his hope and faith in Jesus. Because at that moment, it was not about Jairus, nor was it necessarily about his daughter, because there was nothing she could do for herself. But in that moment, in their time of greatest need, it was all about Jesus. Jesus, Lord of storm and sea, wind and waves. Jesus, who commands legions of demons and they obey him. Jesus, who heals. Jesus, who also raises the dead. Yes, as with the woman with a hemorrhage and Jairus, faith, trust, receives the gift and power of God in Jesus Christ. But it is all about Jesus. And we, Lutherans, we Roman Catholics, we Anglicans, we Christians, ought always to be all about Jesus. Martin Luther said, "By the one solid rock we call the doctrine of justification by faith alone, we mean that we are redeemed from sin, death, and the devil, and are made partakers of life eternal, not by self-help, but by outside help," Luther said. "Namely, by the work of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ alone." We believe, as Luther did, that we cannot save ourselves by our own works, actions, goodness, nor even by the quality or quantity of our faith. As if faith itself was something that we could present to God on Judgment Day, saying, "But look, God, look what a great and glorious faith I had. Surely that will get me into heaven." Nope. We are justified by faith, through faith alone. But it's not our own doing, for we are saved by the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ alone. And there's the good news for you and for me today. There is the freedom of the gospel for you and for me, that thankfully this life, eternal life, our final, ultimate healing and salvation are not dependent upon us. It's not all about me, 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 me. But our hope and our future, your hope and your future, are in the hands of Jesus Christ and Him alone. So that while we never know or control how we will be healed and restored, our healing and restoration comes from the Lord of death and life, who says to you and to me at the time of our death, but also in the midst of life, in the midst of difficulty, trial, challenge, and grief, "Talitha kumi," he says to us, "Arise, rise up." And by his word, by his power, by his strength, by his life, we will rise and find new life then, but even more abundant life right now. Life that is full of joy and peace and hope, not because of who we are, but because of who He is, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, may Jesus Christ, alive today, raise you up, lift you up, give you new life and new hope and new joy and new peace today, right now, by His power, by His presence, in your heart and in your life. To Him be the glory in the church and in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.